Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA, and today we're coming to you live, which is a little bit different. So if you're listening to us at 10 o'clock on May 13th, as opposed to in the archives, we are coming to you live, which gives you the ability to call in with questions if you have them. So our guests are Pat and George Hospodar, and of course they are the authors of Reflection on America's Great Loop and America's Great Loop from Concept to Completion. Pat and George were just with us last week in Norfolk, Virginia at our spring rendezvous, but they have since continued on aboard Reflection and arrived home in New Jersey yesterday. They've been cruising the New Jersey waters, I think it's about 40 years, basically the whole time they've been boating. So, of course, they have very detailed local knowledge of the area and also up-to-the-minute details because they just came through on the inside route, I understand, yesterday. So we'll give you some details. That's always an area of concern for loopers because there can be a lot of shoaling and shallow waters there. Before we bring in Pat and George, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. We encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with the business out of the way, I'd like to bring in George and Pat Hospodar. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for joining me. I know you're probably tired from your travels and just got in yesterday. Before we get into the questioning, I do want to give the number for guests to call in if they have any questions. We don't usually do this live, so this gives us a neat opportunity if people have additional questions. So if you're listening to us and do want to call in, the number is 877-497-1815. That number again, 877-497-1815. Feel free to give us a call with questions. So George and Pat, start off, tell us about the trip yesterday.
Well, the trip yesterday was fine. We left Gardner's Basin in Atlantic City 2 hours after low water at the Route 87 bridge in Atlantic City. That's a tide marker. And started to proceed through the New Jersey Intracoastal Waterway. We had no real issues at all. The waterway is extremely well marked. In various areas, there are additional buoys that the Coast Guard puts in. You do have to be careful to stay in the channel. In some places, the channel is very, very narrow. We had one incident where we went a little bit too far astray between marker 145 and 141, where we got into about 5 feet of water. But as soon as we moved closer to those markers, depth went back over 6.5 again. We generally say that you don't want to drill more than 4 feet doing the New Jersey Intracoastal. Yesterday, the shallowest spot we went over, I think yesterday anywhere, was 5.5 feet of water. That was in the channel in north of the Manahawkin Bridge, heading towards Barnegat Bay. But by leaving Atlantic City at that time, anywhere between 2 to 3 hours after low water, you make it through the worst areas on a rising tide. So it works out very, very nicely. The one thing, just kind of if I could do just a couple of general rules for New Jersey Intracoastal Waterway, is avoid traveling them on weekends. People complain about their shallowness and this and that, yet on weekends they're extremely heavily traveled by locals. So you really don't want to go up them on the weekends because of the heavy traffic, and just let the locals run around crazy on weekends and let the rest of us go during the week when we can. The other thing is that the charts in many areas are not that accurate. And although it's extremely well marked, what you want to do is there's like a couple of rules here. One is that if you are traveling along and your chart matches what you see, then as far as the markers go, then what you'd like to do is really travel right on the magenta line. That's going to give you your deepest water. However, there are spots where you'll see the chart matches the what you see, and on the chart it shows magenta line going on the wrong side of a marker. Don't go there. You will go aground. There are errors in the charts. And in other places, the charts don't match what you see at all. So you just travel along and go from buoy to buoy, marker to marker, what you see. A big section of that is in Great Bay. In Great Bay, since the last charts were published, the marks have been changed all over the place. But they're very close and very easy to spot. That's, I guess, a good start. Go ahead, Pat.
I would just like to chime in. The whole look of the Brigantine area is very, very reminiscent of the marshes in Georgia and South Carolina. So it has, you know, similar issues that you would encounter in Georgia and South Carolina. And also, if you're traveling and it's a hot and muggy day in the Brigantine, try to avoid that because New Jersey is famous for its big, fat green flies that are often in that area, but that's more of a, as we get later into the spring and early summer, that you will encounter that. But it looks very flat, and it's a series of winding waterways.
Yeah, so Brigantine area Pat's talking about is as soon as you leave Atlantic City and start heading north is where you go into the Brigantine area. And it's a very large wildlife area. Huge bird migrations come in here. It's very, very well preserved. The only thing that is only structures in there are the markers. There's nothing out there at all, and it just winds away for miles. Ken, do you have any? I have one other comment too. Before I get too far along, is about Delaware Bay. We came down Delaware Bay, and I just want to let everybody know when you come down that bay. Choose your weather wisely. And I say this because if you have, for example, a good 15-knot breeze coming up out of the southeast, it's going to come right up the river and bay. And on the way down, you are going to go through at least one tide against you. And if the winds are strong, you're going to have very steep waves, and they can be very uncomfortable. So you want to pick a day where the winds are going to be hopefully, around 10 knots or so. And the other issue is that is a very heavily used commercial waterway by ships. And these ships are running 15 to 20 knots up this waterway. It's not like they're going slow. So what we generally recommend and what we do and a lot of other boaters do, we go down the east side of the waterway and along the red markers. If we see a ship coming, we get out of the channel. There is 20 to 40 feet of water for several hundred yards outside the channel on that side. Some of the ships don't throw bad wakes, but we've been hit with a fairly large wake on one occasion, so you do want to get away from those ships. When you get down to what's known as Mia Mall Light, that's where you leave the waterway, the main channel, and head directly for Cape May. It's about a 17 statute mile run, straight run. The least amount of water you'll go over is 10 feet. When you get to the entrance to the Cape May Canal, here's some current information. There's dredging operations going on at the entrance to the Cape May Canal. When you get there, call the dredge on channel 13 and ask which side to pass on, and they'll give you instructions to get by the dredge safely.
And that dredging is going on by the Cape May Lewis Ferry Terminal. So it's a pretty tight in there, so definitely call the dredge.
Yeah. Ken, was there anything else you wanted to mention now?
No, I appreciate that information on the dredging. That kind of current information is really helpful. And speaking of current information, I know you posted to our forum a few days ago. Generally, there would be a choice from Cape May to Atlantic City whether to go the inside route or the outside. But tell us about the bridge issue there right now.
Well, what's going on at the Dorset Avenue Bridge, which is just a few miles south of Atlantic City, the bridge is currently closed to all vessels unless you can clear 9 feet, which is a little short. They're not even sure what's wrong with the bridge yet. They think it's something wrong with electronics. They are supposedly flying someone in from Chicago where the electronics were made to repair it. Last time I spoke with the bridge tender, I asked him to call me once the bridge was fully operational again so I could post that on the forum. Well, this morning I tried calling the bridge tender just to see what the latest status was, and now they're not answering the phone anymore. So this is not a good sign for going up the inside at this time.
Right.
Get some more information, we'll post that. What I'd like to talk about just real quick is the outside route. Now, Pat and I have done the outside route for many, many years, all the way up and down the coast. What I have a couple suggestions is that any day when the wind has a W in the forecast from northwest to southwest will probably be a good day to go up the coast. Now, when we went up the other day, the forecast was for an easterly wind. However, you've really got to read the forecast close. It was an easterly wind 5 to 10 knots with waves 2 to 3 feet with a period of 9 seconds. Well, if you interpret what that actually means is that there's going to be that you're really not going to have waves. Instead, it's going to be a sea swell. And a sea swell 2 to 3 feet high with that long of a period is actually a very gentle swell. Well, when we got out there, it was absolutely beautiful. We had a wonderful trip up the coast. I mean, you could have gone on all day long. It was so nice. What I'd like to give people that are listening a phone number. This is the National Weather Service in Mount Holly, New Jersey, and they're the ones who do the forecasting for all of the New Jersey coast. You can call this number, and you can ask to speak to a meteorologist, and they will talk to you, and you can tell them, look, I'm going to be within a mile or so of the coast going up, and they can give you a forecast for near the coast. And that phone number is 609-261-6615. Again, it's 609-261-6615, and that's for the National Weather Service. I have been in conversation once that does get open again with several of the towboat U.S. operators in the area. And they also, like I did leaving Atlantic City 2 hours after low water, they suggest if you do want to go up that way, here's a couple things. You leave, again, 2 hours after low water. And fortunately, this time of year, as people travel, they're going to have about 14-hour days. What do you got a note here, Pat?
Okay, we left 2-3 hours ago.
Yeah.
About 87.
Well, no, I'm talking about coming out of Cape May. Out of Cape May, you check the tide chart for Cape May Harbor and leave about 2 hours after low water. On the way up, as you near Ocean City, New Jersey, the waterway turns and goes into an area called Broad Thoroughfare. It's a turn to port. And what they suggest is don't go into Broad Thoroughfare. It is narrow, it is not broad, and it is shallow. So what they suggest everybody to do is just go straight ahead under the Longport Ocean City 65-foot-high bridge, which runs right along the inlet. When you leave the waterway, the rates will still be on your port side until you get to Junction Buoy GH. At that point is where the inlet comes in. As you go past GH, the junction of the buoys now are green on the port side until the following bridge, which is a 25-foot-high bridge. Once you pass under that bridge, you're back in the intracoastal waterway, and you are back with the reds on your port side again. One more thing. This is about the ocean and the trips up the ocean, because we hear about this every year that people get into trouble with some of the inlets in New Jersey. There are only 3 inlets that we recommend to go out of. First is Cape May, nice and wide, nice and deep, well-lit jetties on both sides. That is from there, it's about a 39-mile statute trip up to Atsecon Inlet, which is Atlantic City. Again, this is a well-marked inlet, easy to get into, wide, deep, no problems. From that, the next inlet is 59 miles up, and that's Manasquan Inlet. Again, a jetted inlet, a bit narrower than the other two, but easy to negotiate, very easy to negotiate. From there, it's only 28 miles up to the Sandy Hook Channel, and you're on your way to New York Harbor. Those are the only three inlets that are really considered Class A inlets in New Jersey. I do not recommend going into many of the other inlets. Many of the other inlets are completely closed to navigation. And even the other ones that are open are considered Class B and Class C inlets. For example, Townsend, Grade A, and Little A inlets, they are marked. The charts do not show the markers. The markers are very difficult to see, and it's a very easy place to go aground. Also, even up at Barnicot Inlet, those marks are not charted. They're easier to see, but you can run into trouble at that inlet because if you're going into or out of that inlet and there's an opposing wind and tide, you can have very large rollers going through the inlet. So I'm not real happy about that inlet either. So those are three inlets. Cape May, Absecon, Atlantic City, and Manasquan Inlet are the three inlets that loopers should really be using on this trip.
Okay, and right now really the only choice is to go on the outside from Cape May to Absecon.
Correct. That is correct. So
39 statute miles, not a bad trip for a looper in a day for most loopers. From there, you can either make the choice at this point to go back out on the outside and continue on to the Manasquan Inlet, or you can stay on the inside. George, I think you called the outside route actually the preferred route in the forum. Why is that?
Well, it's shorter, number one. The inside route is longer. With all the zigzags you have to do, where the outside route is basically a straight line right up the coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, you don't have to deal with any bridges. You don't have to worry about any depths. And as a matter of fact, the way New Jersey's laid out, in rare cases, you can come, only a few places that you have to be over a mile out, you can come within a half mile of the beach and still be in 20, 30 feet of water. So
mm-hmm.
if you have a wind coming off the beach, you can get in fairly close to the beach and not get waves. So it's just such an easy route to go up the ocean. So if conditions are all favorable, I recommend the ocean route.
Well, and that's good to know and good advice, because a lot of loopers just tend to prefer inside routes when they can get them. So perhaps having to go on the outside from Cape May to Absecon might be a good experience for loopers, and if they've picked the right weather window, they may find they're enjoying that quicker, more direct, less challenging route, and continue on further north that way to the next inlet that you recommend, which was Manasquan Inlet. What else do we need? So the outside route is pretty direct and pretty easy to navigate, obviously. What else do we need to know if we do choose the inside route?
A couple things on the inside route, especially as you get towards the Manasquan area. There's the Point Pleasant Canal, which is a two-mile-long canal. The currents can really zip along in that canal. I'm talking like 4 knots or more. It is a no-wake zone, the entire canal, but just so you can make headway sometimes, you make a wake. It is very busy on weekends. Also, at that end, when you head, there are bridges that go across there, but they're fairly high, 30, 35 feet. Most loopers should have no problem, I think, clearing all those bridges. When you get past the Route 35 bridge, you're on your way to the ocean now, because I hope everybody realizes when you get to Manasquan, there is no intracoastal waterway. You must go out into the ocean up into New York. But when you pass the Route 35 bridge, there is a railroad bridge. It is very narrow. It's normally in the open position. You want to move your boat along the docks on the port side, because the bridge sits at an angle to the waterway. You want to have a clear visibility going through that bridge so you don't get a surprise. And the currents can move very swiftly through that bridge also. So you just want to keep your wits about you on that. As far as anything else goes on the waterway, as I said, just make sure you stay in the channel where you can follow the magenta line as long as the markers are laid out. As we said, north of Manahawkin Bridge, even in the channel, we encountered 5.5 feet of water. Now, also, another thing too, when you get to that Manahawkin Bridge area, the tides down in Atlantic City, Cape May, can run 4 to 5 feet. When you get to the Manahawkin Bridge area, you're down to about an 8-inch tide. When you get further up into Barnegat Bay, you're down to less than a 6-inch tide. So your tides really don't matter. You will get into areas where 7 feet's a lot of water. It's just the way life is. And that's how deep it is. When you get into Barnegat Bay, you can relax a bit. The markers are spread out pretty far because it's very wide, and you can't get into very much trouble there. As you get above the Route 37 bridge, you just follow the magenta line. You should be fine. A lot of the charts will be going over spots that look like it says there's 4 feet of water, and you check your depth sounder, and it's 7 feet of water. Again, a lot of these charts have not been updated in many years, and it's just by us going through there that we have a feel for this.
Also, our home is on a lovely lagoon area off of Barnegat Bay. So we are just glad to support all the loopers who are coming to this area. I feel like we're the right now we're ahead of everybody who is still coming up. And we will, if people have any questions or if we can assist you in any way possible, taking people to the store, to West Marine, to other places for visioning, are most happy to assist you.
And George and Pat are harbor hosts, of course, for that area in New Jersey. We're going to pause here for just a moment and play a message from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute.
AGLCA Admiral-sponsored Dog River Marina is located at the mouth of the Tenton Waterway in Mobile, Alabama, only 22 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. The marina encompasses 95 slips, 80 of which are sheltered. They offer a ship store, courtesy car, rental cars, 24-hour guard service, and shore power. The complex's full-service repair facility is staffed with highly trained personnel to handle everything from simple repairs to complex overhauls. For more information, visit www.dogriver.com.
We're back on Great Loop Radio with our guests, Pat and George Hospodar, who, of course, are platinum loopers, speakers at our rendezvous, and we were just talking about them being the harbor hosts in New Jersey. They're also known for their hospitality because they plan and host the Sunset Celebration and Marathon for the last, how many years has it been now, Pat? Several.
Let me see. I think this is the seventh.
Since 2009.
Since 2009. And you've had, I believe it was over 100 loopers there this year, wasn't it?
61. It's the number this year. It gets bigger and bigger. We're delighted with it. And, of course, we've had some, we have wonderful entertainment and actually, some of the folks in the marina helped us this year, parking cars and everything. It was really something to see. Kim, we'd love to have you join us. I keep saying that.
Well, I would love to be there. I will try to plan my calendar for next year so that I can be in the Keys in the winter. Sounds like a great plan to me. So besides doing that at your winter home in Marathon at the marina there, you're a harbor host at your home in New Jersey, so thank you for doing that as well. Any other tips that we may not have covered for whether it be cruising the waterways of New Jersey or things to see and do along the way?
Absolutely. As far as if suppose you get stuck in Cape May, this is not, with say, weather. There are so many things to do there. It's a delightful place to be. Same thing for Atlantic City. Cape May was the has the largest collection of Victorian architecture. The whole town is a historic landmark with Victorian homes and lots of stores and lots of restaurants there. That's a great place to be. There are several marinas and an anchorage that a lot of people stay at as well. Atlantic City, needless to say, casinos, the aquarium at Gardner's Basin, like a place to go, and you can get around town very easily from with the jitney buses, which will take you wherever around Atlantic City. Also, the Atlantic City Lighthouse is a place to tour as well. as they come north, Manasquan, lots of wonderful seafood restaurants. Hopkins Marina, I believe, is one of the AGLC sponsors. They have a huge marina complex there. And again, these are all places that we have come to pick up people. George has gotten on people's boats and brought them up from Atlantic City. They were super scared. So we're willing to help you in any way possible to make your experience here in our Garden State wonderful.
There are a couple things down in Cape May. If you go to Utch's Marina, you can actually from there, they have bicycles, but you can also walk into town from there. It's not that big of a deal to get in. And in Atlantic City, we stay at Gardner's Basin. Now, Gardner's Basin is a part of the Atlantic City Aquarium. So if you call them up, they may answer as Atlantic City Aquarium. What's nice about that place is the rate. It's $1.50 a foot as opposed to the State Marina, which is $3 a foot. The downside is that the you don't want to use the showers. The bathroom is there. But they do have electric and water. There's a couple of good restaurants right on the property. Mm-hmm. And the jitney bus that will take you into the casino area is right outside the gates. So that's kind of a nice place. If some of the folks, if they do come up the inside, up into the Brick Township area, right after the Manilok and Route 528 bridge, there's a marina at the port side, Traders Cove. We've had several loopers stay there. It's a very easy place to get in, get out. There's no current, there's no real tide issues there. And, of course, if you come into Manasquan, Hoffman's is an excellent place to stay. There is current in that river there, so when you call Hoffman's, you want to ask them if you can possibly stay on a T-head so you get easy in and easy out there. I'm trying to think what else might be helpful. Well, again, oh, one more thing, too. When you are leaving New Jersey and you're heading out Manasquan Inlet, and you've got to run up the ocean, there's never really no choice, it's best to time yourself so that you get to New York Harbor on a rising tide, not because of depth issues, but because of currents. The Hudson River can run very, very swiftly. It could be 2-3 knots. So it'd be nice to get a ride up the river. Also, there is a beautiful anchorage right behind the Statue of Liberty. When you get to Liberty up to New York Harbor, you'll see the statue. If you go to the left side of the statue, you'll see heading towards New Jersey, you'll see a green marker and then a small channel that'll take you to the towards New Jersey. You go through that channel, and then you'll get into another channel that's immediately in front of it that is not charted, but it's very well marked. Takes you into an area alongside Liberty State Park. There is no current, and there's no wakes, and there's probably about 13, 14 feet of water, and you can have some nice views of the Verrazano's Bridge and of Brooklyn, and you can see the top of the statue from there and so on. When we did our first loop, we stayed there. We had a fabulous view of Manhattan and all the way up in New York. New York City from here. Unfortunately, the park system came out and planted trees, which blocks our view now. So the only view left is Verrazano's Bridge in Staten Island and Brooklyn. But it's still a very good place to stop, and many, many loopers stay in that anchorage.
Well, great. We're just about out of time. George and Pat, thank you for the very current, up-to-date information and for the local knowledge for getting through New Jersey. Thank you to all of you who have listened today. We will be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.